Well, tonight, we want you to position yourself to receive from the Lord a commission to praying on another level. And so tonight we're going to be talking about prayer, the end of days, next level prayer. And so God doesn't want us, ladies and gentlemen, to be praying the same way after today. Many of us have been here for most of the teachings these last couple of months and weeks. these 9 or 10 Wednesday nights where we've emphasized prayer and different aspects of it. And so here's where we're going. God wants you after tonight to be more effective and excellent and efficient in your prayer life individually, and of course for us to be effective, more effective, excellent, and efficient in praying corporately. So you got a twofold assignment and appointment as of tonight to be and become excellent in your prayer life, to excel in your personal prayer life, and then to excel at corporate praying. That means you're gathered together in agreement, in one accord with others, to pray out what God wants, to stop the hand of the enemy and the adversary in the work that he tries to do in our community, our city, our families, so forth and so on. Praise the Lord. So you have your handout there. And so we're going to read, just begin reading our first scripture, opening scripture here tonight, Luke 24:49. It says, John 15:7. I forgot to correct that. But so John 15:7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire. So those, we've talked about the conditions in which we always need to posture in the platform of prayer. We got to abide in Jesus. We got our have to have his word abiding in us. This is prayer preparations. These are prayer conditions. He said, if it shall be done for you. New Passion Translations, you see it right there. If you live in life union with me and if my words are powerfully live within you, then you can ask whatever you desire and it will be done, excuse me. And then in Luke 24:49, the actual Luke 24:49, in the New Living Translations, it says, now I send the Holy Spirit just as my Father promised, but stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. And of course, Jesus was not talking individually to one person. He was talking to a group of people. And then, of course, Acts 1:14 is where they carried it out. And it says in Luke Living Translation, and they all, everybody say all, met together and were constantly united in prayer, along with Mary, the mother of Jesus, several other women, and brothers of Jesus. So Jesus' natural family had all gathered together in this prayer meeting. And I like to have the scriptures point that out because, they began to follow him after his resurrection. And, of course, his disciples were, of course, there. And they met together and were constantly, what? United in prayer. Now, today's, if you were to put that in today's vernacular, in general sense, people always meet to fellowship. But we ought to be real good at and getting better at meeting to prayer. Amen. So Jesus gave the last instructions to his disciples before his ascension and his first instructions in the book of Acts to pray corporately. Everybody say pray corporately. And we mentioned it a couple of weeks ago that we don't necessarily see a whole bunch of individual prayer, although it is an arena and an avenue in which we should pray individually. We might have personal things that we talk to God about. We should every day. But we see an illustration of a lot of corporate praying. This pattern was the best pattern. Corporate prayer, as we've said, and Pastor Cynthia shared it earlier this month, vocal, united prayer. We just call it corporate prayer, where two or more people are gathered. So it's two or more people praying in unity and as one accord by faith. So you don't leave your faith down or you let your faith down. You're praying by faith, out loud, vocally, together. And so this is where we have to sometimes unlearn, because we think, well, I can't hear myself when everybody else is talking. Well, the first thing is united. You got to get in the same heart and spirit about it. Amen? And then you'll be spirit-led in vocalizing what's in your heart to pray. You're praying out what's in your heart by faith, because faith comes or works through what? Your heart. But it's working through your lips in prayer. Amen. And so you're praying together. So sometimes we've learned that when one person praying, we all kind of, that may be united, but it may not be vocal, because everybody should be vocalizing. The prayer expressions that come through your spirit, by the Holy Spirit, by faith, and releasing it towards God. It's directed towards God. But it's all of us praying at the same time. Now I say, well, how does God understand? Well, he's not hard of hearing. And there's thousands of people praying to him right now, so he's not confused or perplexed and say, wait a minute, I can't hear everybody. No, he can hear it. And he's not nervous. So when you're praying out loud, he's not nervous of the noise, the volume, nor the intensity of prayer. And so sometimes we have to unlearn what maybe religion has taught us. Be silent. You pray silently, head down, mouth closed. Well, Jesus began to break that up when he said, when you pray, say. Even in his model prayer, the Lord's Prayer, he said, when you pray, say. Amen? So it's everyone's praying at the same time for the same cause, purpose, or plan. With the unity, there's an element of single-mindedness. One heart, one mind. Philippians 1:27 says, we strive together for the faith of the gospel. So we're one heart. Everybody say it with me. One heart and one mind. So we're in agreement and alignment about it. Praise the Lord. Corporate prayer, as we said last week, produces the corporate anointing, which is the anointings multiplied. It creates a space for God to move and manifest. Why? Because prophecies and promises from God do not self-fulfill. Together vocally and vigorously, we have to seize and lay hold of them. We know the scripture talks about this should be called a house of prayer, but he doesn't expect us all to be passive in prayer. He expects some of our praying to be passionate, persevering. Amen. All right. And so those scriptures are there for reference. Look at 1 John 5:14-15. Now, this is the confidence. So, in other words, we pray with confidence that we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will or his word, he hears us. And if we know he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of him. So we want to be quick prayer, pray first responders. Now, we've heard the term first responders from a natural civil organization in our municipality. You know, people are labeled their first responders. They respond when a situation or a crisis comes on the scene. Well, we have to go and grow to be prayer first responders. If it's in our family, or if it's in our personal family, we need to reach out and reach up and say, Lord, who do I call to pray with me? So we can get a sense of urgency about this situation. Amen. And as you journey through your life of prayer and God begins to increase and excel you in that, you become a good agreeer. So people will say, okay, I pray with that person, and we get things done. Amen. Now, use the baby Christians. As a pastor, I can carry baby Christians for a couple of years. Anywhere between 3.5 to 4 years, I can't carry no more. Don't ask me why, but God expects all of us to grow in faith and grow in our prayer life. So their faith is dependent, is required to stand on its own two legs. It's easy. I can just throw them on my back and pray them through and pray the answers. But if you've been in the kingdom, in the body of Christ for a minute, God expects you to learn how to pray. That's like your elementary school education in the Holy Ghost, in the realm of the Spirit. You got to learn how to pray. Just like the baby learned how to talk, you got to learn how to talk to God. Talk to God. Amen? And so everybody should get good at having conversations with God, but also calling on the Lord or commanding the supernatural. Amen. So types of corporate prayer meetings needed in these end of days. Now, I'll define that a little bit, but not too much. We'll talk a little bit more about the end times in our next teaching emphasis with the Revelation. And if you look at the calendar, you know, we're at the last days or end of days as the Bible articulates. And we'll define that later in our new series emphasis. Acts 12:5 says, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Prayer was made without ceasing. So when somebody gets in trouble, this is how prayer first responders react and respond. Now, I'm trying to shake up something in us tonight to not constantly accept the assaults and the attacks of the enemy as, oh, just I'm going through another attack. Well, why didn't you reach up and reach out for prayers? To respond first with prayer. But so many of us sometimes get conditioned to just talk about it, and we don't pray about it. And the best pattern, as we taught and emphasized last two Wednesday nights, and when Pastor Cynthia was teaching early in the month, was that we need to engage in corporate prayer. Two or more people that we can pray for heaven to bring answers, to bring solutions, right now, on the scene. Amen? Look at it again. Peter was therefore kept in prison. What's happened? Peter's in trouble. James had just got his head cut off. So the devil, was attacking who? Leadership. But what? But prayer was made without what? Of the who? See, people think, well, I can't come to church. That doesn't mean you can't be the church. People think, well, the church is this. No, but you're the church. You're the body of Christ. So we ought to be able to pray wherever we're at, especially with technology. Man, we can FaceTime pray. Come on now. You can FaceTime pray. We can get in agreement or get in contact with you over the phone. Prayer can be done anywhere. Amen? Of the church unto God for what? For him. Now notice there was more than one person because he mentioned the church. He didn't say one person in church. So it was not an individual prayer. And notice that prayer was made without ceasing by the church until the answer came or manifested. They kept on praying until the solution or resolution came about. Old Pentecostals used to say it in one sense. They would pray until they got a note of victory or prayed through. What is praying through or a note of victory? When we start rejoicing, when we start laughing, when we start singing. Why? Because the burden that we're praying about has been lifted. See, that's the spiritual barometer, so to speak, to let us know we've penetrated or we've broken through that burden. We've lifted that burden of that care and problem and crisis off of us. And we know it's all right. And we know it's going to be taken care of. This has happened time after time. I don't have time tonight. Give you testimony. People, you know, overseas, missionaries, people were alarmed in their spirit to pray for somebody in Africa or pray for this person. Why? It comes by being faithful in the little things. Close proximity, people that you see, your family. But if you still act like a responder to the crisis like you did before, then that's out of order. That's unacceptable. We can't go through fall where people having crisis or drama or attacks or assaults of the enemy and then crying and telling everybody and their brother about it, even posting it on social media if that's the case, and say, I'm in crisis. No, we got to be prayer first responders. Prayer first responders. Everybody say it with me. Prayer, first responder. Amen. We pray first. If we know we can't pray about it effectively on our own, we get prayers to gather and agree and get in a unity and accord with, and we pray it through. We pray about it, and we don't let it go. They used to say in the old days when my grandmother's alive, they said, you know, they had people in the church. They knew they could pray what we call heaven down. Well, that was one of the patterns of Jesus' prayer. Thy will be done, where? On earth as where? As it is in heaven. It's not God's will in heaven. You die of some debilitating disease. It's not God's will in heaven that your family gets destroyed and devastated. God is a God of miracles. Not was a God of miracles. He is a God of miracles. Amen? And corporate prayer is the fastest course and route to seeing a miracle manifest. It works expeditiously, and it works exponentially. Meaning it's very effective and very time sensitive. Whew, glory to God. This persistence and perseverance in prayer together until the answer prevails or without ceasing, they needed to do that. So Peter needed supernatural deliverance because they were getting ready to take him out too. And that's what corporate prayer or united prayer produced. Are you listening to me? I'm going to have to let her tell it, but, you know, we had a situation in the church where somebody was, you know, in the legal system. Well, it looked like it was impossible based on the facts I heard, but we went and prayed. Why? Because we're prayer first responders. We've learned to start being prayer first responders. Let's don't talk about it. Let's pray about it. It may look ugly all the way from the floor to the top of your head. But God can turn things around. God can move mountains for us. Praise God. He can work miracles on our behalf. Amen. We're his kids. Praise the Lord. So these are types of corporate prayer meetings, open prayer meeting. you know, we typically categorize pre-service prayer and corporate prayer service as open. They're announced and advertised. Then there's closed ones. There's ones that we don't need nobody else to know about. We were involved in that one I just mentioned where there was a situation, but, you know, it's closed because we don't want everybody and their brother who can't believe and can't agree. Because once you get the facts, some people say, well, I don't see how. What? You're in doubt. You got to have a belief in what you don't see and what you don't see yet that it will come to pass. Somebody said glory to God. And so sometimes you need to close it out and just pray with people that need to be there. Amen. Otherwise, you'll mess it up. And then there's Holy Spirit-led prayer meetings. So there are different causes and things the Lord puts in our heart that we need to intercede about. Like one time we had a situation of that escalated at a high school nearby, Oliver Wendell Holmes, and they were having all this after-school bullying and kids getting beat up going on. I mean, there was fear running all around the block. Well, that's in our community. And God says, you're in charge of that. Well, I'm not in charge of the school, but yes, we are. It's in our community. So we had to come against that bullying. Kids getting beat up viciously for no rhyme or reason, just because it was a media thing they were putting out on their phones and stuff. And kids getting beat up and beat down and fighting after school. Well, I mean, you know, we're in charge of dealing with school violence. I know it didn't. So we had a spirit-led meeting where we prayed about the school. We've started praying now for this school year's coming up in the schools in our community, in our area. Why? And on Thursday, but why? Because we're in charge of our community. We're in charge of our city. Amen. Number four, prayer walks. Walk and prayer. Why? Like I said, God has put us in charge of the community and the city we are in. It's our job to exercise our authority in Jesus against the works and threats of the enemy. Because he'll try to infiltrate. If he can't infiltrate in the church, he'll try to infiltrate through the city or the community, through open doors there, and then he'll try to surround the church and infiltrate the church that way. So notice I'm talking strategically, because we need to take the prayer on a higher level, not just be reactive and in prayer. We have to be proactive in prayer. Praise God. Colossians 4:2 says, continue earnestly in prayer, be vigilant in it, with thanksgiving. Continue what? So all your praying doesn't need to be communion. Passivity. It needs to be burning hot, earnest, intense sometimes. And be vigilant. Vigilant is a militaristic type term. That means you've got to watch even your own prayer life. Be vigilant in it. You're on guard. You know, one of the statements Jesus made was what? To the disciples, in his intense season, he was going to the Garden of Gethsemane. What was happening? It was facing a big situation, and it was hard on his flesh and his soul. And the Bible even says, Dr. Luke records the way he did in the Greek. It means he collapsed under the weight of that. Going to the cross and taking on the sins of the world and all that, so because he was human too. Didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, but he did everything as a human. And so he collapsed, and he told his disciples beforehand, watch and what? Pray. He used the word watch. So not only we are charged to be good prayers, but also good watchers. Now, watchers do two things. Watchers are preventive and protective. In that sense, they're on guard or watching. Because you remember, we always said the enemy never takes what? A day off. He's always busy. And when we taught on binding and loosing, you got to make sure that you release your authority against the devil in what his activity is trying to, he's accomplished, his work he's trying to do in your life and in your family, because that's your domain or dominion area. But you got to be watching. You can't fall asleep. We say in the military, that's court-martial offense if you fall asleep on guard duty. But too many people have fallen asleep in their prayer duty. Got to watch. And what happened to Peter and James? They, 1 hour, they're out there asleep. In a critical crisis time, they out there what? Sleep. He said, what? You can't even pray with me 1 hour? But he said, watch and pray that you what? Enter not into what? Temptation. That means you can enter right into the temptation not to pray and not to watch. Amen. And yield to your flesh and hit the alarm clock and stay in bed or get distracted by your phone or go to the TV or get distracted by a computer or a phone call that comes through. God says, I want people who fulfill prayer assignments in this church. We have prayer duties. He's not going to give you more than what you can handle, but you got to handle this one. And like we said, even in pre-service prayer, it's difficult when one person's praying and everybody else is just watching them pray instead of praying themselves. You know, corporate prayer is the body, the church is praying. Amen. All right. We got a job to do during corporate prayer. James 5:16b. Amplified Classic says, the earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic, and is working. So individually, we are to also pray earnestly. Heartfelt, continued prayer. Earnest. See, passive prayer is communion with God, supplication, intercession, and praying corporately is intense. It's intense. Now let's look at Colossians 4, 12 and 13 in the New Living Translation. Epaphras, a member of your fellowship and servant of Christ, Jesus Christ, sends you his greetings. He's always praying earnestly for you. Well, that's an intercessor, right? Asking God to make you strong and perfect, fully confident that you are following the whole will of God. That's what everybody needs in a church family. But a lot of times people relegate it to just the pastors pray for the church family. But God must raise up prayers and watchers within the church family. Are you listening to me? I can assure you that he prays hard for you and also for the labor believers in Laodicea and Hierapolis. So he's praying what? Is he praying easy? He's praying hard. I hope you're seeing the concept of this. Corporate prayer is also praying earnestly. That means seriously, no nonsense, weighty and passionate and compassionate. Because we are here to care and meet the needs of people. We're here to protect this house. That's a watcher. You protect the house. But watching, as we said, the other part of it is also a proactive sense. It's a preventative and protective sense. But watching is also you're watching the work of God, the way of God, and the will of God, and making sure that plans are going accordingly to his plan. Because the enemy always tries to disrupt the plan. You need to do this in your family. Because God will always work and work through and speak to the heads of that family and said, this is what I want to do in that family. Well, if you're not watching, The enemy getting this kid, that kid, depending on how many kids you got, and get them off the plan. Get them outside of God's purpose and plan for their life. And you're sitting there muted up and closed up and not doing anything about it. So your watching is to make sure that God, you told me, every child, you know, when we dedicate them to the Lord, right, little babies or our children to the Lord and give them to the Lord, what does that mean? Does that mean just we go through a religious ceremony? No, we dedicate them to the Lord. We're saying, Lord, this is your child that you've entrusted me to be a steward over. And a steward means I'm going to raise them in the fear and admonition of the Lord to do what? God's will. To do God's work. To fulfill God's purpose in the earth. And they just run it all off the reservation and running off the tracks. And we're just saying, No, you make course correction, but in prayer. You sever the works of the enemy. You terminate his assignments and his assaults upon your family members. Because you got the power to do that as a watcher. That means, no, devil, don't take them that way. They're supposed to go this way. So you stop. Everybody say stop. Stop the works of the enemy. So sometimes, as we talked about, you have to go back and listen to it, the binding and loosing. Sometimes you have to bind his hands or tie him up and keep him shut up. But a lot of times, the most times, you have to loose his assignment on their life. But it's predicated on you and me. Whatever you bind on earth will be what? Bound in. Whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. So in other words, God will allow what you will not allow. If you loose the assignment of the enemy on your child, take his hands off of my child, take your hands off of my family. And remember, this is work that must be done on a consistent, regular basis. The devil doesn't take a day off. He's a spirit being. He's not a human being that requires rest and vacations. So we got to wake up and be led by the Holy Spirit to say, okay, what do we need to deal with today, Lord? Because he'll sneak in and he'll get in. And as we said, hold high carnival or bring high chaos into your own family. And who's responsible? We are. Amen. The community, the city, who's responsible? The church is. Not just our church, but, you know, all the churches that are ordained by God and carry the name of Jesus. You know, we're responsible for the city. But a lot of people think, well, that's a few people that maybe just in love with politics, or maybe they just passionate about that cause. No, we're not a civilian organization. The church is, we're citizens of the kingdom of God. We're soldiers in the army of the Lord. Come on now. You have heard the term prayer warrior, right? That means we're at war. And the weapons of our warfare are not natural or carnal, but they're mighty through God. We got to pull down these arguments and reasonings and imaginations that come in our own mind that says, well, you don't need to pray. Somebody else can do that. Everybody wants to play, but who wants to pray? Amen. I like it what Brother Hagin did. He said, I drive 200 miles to agree with this one couple and pray with this one couple. Because is everything we agreed on and everything we prayed about came to pass. They were busy. They were intentional. And when he was getting up there in age, and he told a person who used to work with him, Billy Brim, he told her, this is back in the 80s. He said, Billy, you need to get this person, this person, this person, this person, this person. It's five different people. He said, you need to get close to them, get with them. He said, and get everything from them, because they're getting ready to go to heaven. And if you don't get it, what they know about prayer will be lost. Because he would bring people to the office and stuff. And then he told her, he said, you need to write books about her. Because what's going to usher in this last great move of God? People who give themselves to the Holy Spirit and prayer. Prayer has to go to a higher order, a next level. Are you listening to me? Are you here tonight? Amen. And why are you here for such a time as this, as Esther said in the scriptures? You are called, appointed and anointed to pray in God's move, his great, last great move. Don't be oblivious and think, well, you know, maybe that's not me and, you know, I don't want to get it. No, you've had opportunities and access to information that 90% of the body of Christ doesn't have. 90% people aren't getting taught to pray, but you are. And you don't think God's going to have you responsible? Hallelujah. It's praying earnestly, no nonsense, weighty, passionate, compassionate, praying boldly, confidently by faith and fervency. It's praying to open spiritual doors. Open spiritual doors. The enemy likes to close them so things can't be accessed and appropriated from heaven, but we open them by prayer. Amen. Amen. So praying, corporate praying on the next level in these end of days, so we are to grow and go to the next level. Everybody say grow and go. So you should be growing in your prayer life. And we always tell people when they get filled with the Holy Spirit, okay, start off with 5 minutes a day in tongues, and then quickly move to 15 minutes. And then as time permits, you start getting to 30 minutes. At least spend time praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, just like learning how to talk for a baby. Learning, you know, phonics and words and phrases and clauses. You get fluent and fully functional in the realm of the Spirit, in the realm of the Holy Ghost. You don't stay dysfunctional. You know how to articulate things that the Holy Spirit gives you to utter. Whew, I can almost, I'm not talking English now. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Ha ha masiko. Brokotita nambo jose de ming romakani duste. Robaka namu dista kanamo hosike. Yamose tekeleka. Maka nobose. Yeah. Mose tokota. Your words are designed to create, to release power, to change things and to rearrange things in this time and in this day. So you that hear the Holy Spirit talk to you this very night are called by the Lord to watch and to pray. So step up and step out and step in to the things of prayer and things pertaining to and of the Holy Ghost you are to enter in prayer and intercessions. And supplications, you will see the ushering in of the glory of God. the great wave and move of God that is to come, that is to be. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Whew, glory to God. See, we're to grow and go to the next level, both in our personal prayer life and praying in our corporate prayer life. And praying individually, we should get real good, efficient, and effective at these types of prayers. Praying of faith. That's why we're learning faith. Everybody needs faith clinic, faith tune-ups, faith seminar, refresher faith training all the time, because we do it. We ought to do everything by faith. Amen. When you get out on the highway, as Pastor Moore, you get on the interstate, you ought to be doing it by faith. You're coming to church by faith. You're releasing your faith, even when the speaker is speaking, we're preaching, because what? You're believing with that God gets out everything that needs to get out. You don't turn your faith off because I'm not serving tonight or I'm not doing anything tonight. But people get so focused on the other things like fellowship and friendship and not faith. We need to make that a priority, okay? This is prayer of faith, is to get and change something. Amen. Scripture's there for you to run reference on. The prayer of commitment, which means get real good at casting your cares on the Lord. Now, everybody's full of care. Everybody's being paranoid, anxious, stressed out. We ought to get real good at giving them to the Lord, giving our cares to the Lord. That's the prayer of commitment, or casting your cares on the Lord. The scriptures are there for you to reference. Binding and loosing, meaning releasing our God-given, grace-given authority and right to command in Christ. You have a right to command the devil and command the supernatural cohorts of the devil. That means the demons and all the evil spirits that try to afflict, attack, and assault you and your family. Amen. So if you don't use your authority, you give it away. It's not come what may, it's come what you say. And if you don't speak to the its in your life, the its will speak to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The number four, the prayer of praise and worship, ministering to the Lord. We ought to spend time ministering to the Lord, basking in his presence. Amen. Practicing his presence. Praise the Lord. So if you're at lunch, or if you're even doing something and the Lord speaks to you, you say, okay, the Holy Spirit wants to say something. The Holy Spirit wants to tap you on the shoulder. For you're very sensitive. And you're very aware of his presence indwelling inside of you. That's what praying in the Holy Ghost does for you. You always know that the Holy Spirit is so near and he's so great. Amen. Greater is he who is in you than he is. So you're God inside minded. You're conscious of the greater one on the inside of you. And then number five, the prayer of consecration and dedication to the will of God. This is when the will is unknown. What Jesus prayed this prayer, and a lot of people use this prayer and misuse this prayer in application. Because when the will of God is known, it's not if it be thy will. Now, we don't pray that for healing. We don't pray that for family matters pertaining to salvation, deliverance, and victory in our family. No, we don't pray if it be thy will. Amen. But Jesus' prayer was, if it be possible, remove this. See, if is a badge of doubt in other prayers. Lord, if not my will, but what? Your will be done. So when you get stubborn, bullheaded, amen, hard-headed, and hard behind, you need to bend down and get down. Go low and say, Lord, not my will. Your will be done. Because God didn't promise any of us, you know, it was going to be easy street with our faith, easy road with our faith. Sometimes the devil makes us think that if I'm in faith, then I'm not going to have any problems. And our flesh doesn't like problems, doesn't like pressure, doesn't like pain. But there is suffering for righteousness' sake, for as a Christian, for Christ. And so you got to constantly drinking from that fire hose and in the middle of that fire and storm, say, not my will, your will be done. So you don't quit, you don't run out, you don't flake out, and you don't fall out. Amen. So the overarching purpose of corporate prayer in days is to pray in the plans of God. God has a plan. He's a planner. Well, he's not going to just make them automatically come to fruition in a church, in a city, and in a community, or in a country. He needs prayers to work with him. We have plans, and Pastor Cynthia picked up on this several weeks ago and even months ago. And God has plans for every aspect of this church. But they have to be prayed out. You have to partner with God to pray out the plan. Well, what does the devil try to do? That's the second. Number two, to stop the strategy of the enemy. God has a plan to steal, kill, and what? Destroy. But we got to stop him. We got to stop the strategy of the enemy. That's what overarching purpose of corporate prayer in these end days. We got to get God's plan to work, at work, activate it. In every part of this church, and you have to activate God's plan in every part and aspect of your family. Now, I know I'm speaking very direct tonight, but we're being commissioned to pray on another level. We can't just shuck this off and throw this off. God has a plan for you, your family, and this church family, just in a simple scope of our responsibilities. And we all have a part to play and pray in that. Amen? So God's plans are to be prayed through from the realm of the unseen to the realm of the seen. Satan's plans can be stopped. So these are the ends of days, and working with God in prayer is of utmost importance. Y'all getting something out of this tonight? So corporately speaking, one of the chief needs of the earth is a body through which he can work. Now, a body through which he can bring his plans into the earth and stop the strategies of the enemy. Because Satan's still the god of this world. Now let's look at, I'm going to read this, Hebrews 10, 4 through 7 real quick before we close. For if it is possible, the blood of bulls and goats should take away sins, is not possible. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he said, sacrifice and offering what thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. Now, I know this is specifically speaking of Jesus Christ's individual body. But I want you to think of it symbolically speaking to us as God is preparing a body. Why did we have all these weeks of just going back through prayer and talking about prayer on a higher order? God is preparing a body of believers who will pray. You're a prepared body. Now it's up to us if we will take that responsibility in prayer. Because if we don't, God will take it away and give it to somebody else. We don't want to get fired. We don't want to get dismissed by God because we wouldn't fulfill that responsibility and an assignment to pray. That's why we got to take pre-service prayer seriously. We got to take corporate prayer services seriously. We got to take these open and closed prayer meetings and spirit-led prayer purposes seriously. Amen? Because we are, let me keep reading, and burnt offering and sacrifice, sin had no pleasure. Lo, I come to, in the volume of the book is written of me to do what? Thy will, O God. Amen. We want to do God's will. And what does God want? He wants us to pray in the plans, his plans. He wants us to stop the strategies of the enemy. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we are to be a body prepared to pray and intercede effectively together to see his will and work get done. Corporately in prayer, we have a ministry in the heavenlies. Amen. That means we take our place in Christ, and from that place and that platform, we are to pray from victory. From the king's seat. Like we said, Ecclesiastes 8:4. The word of the king, in the word of the king, there is power. So we're not praying from a beggar. Please God. Come down and help me, God. No, we're praying and giving commands in the heavenlies. And we're taking our place. Our grace-given, God-given right to command. And in the word of the king, there is power. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So we as born-again, spirit-filled believers and Christ followers have the responsibility, look at these things, to keep our communities free from shooting sprees at local schools. We know that's something just happened the other day, right? Churches, malls, and public events. We got to keep it from coming. So as a watcher, we see it coming, but we prevent it from happening. When we become good at watching, we see it coming in our family, but we stop it from happening. Right? Amen? And then, of course, keep our areas and communities free from the epidemic of suicide. You know, that's a big deal today. Kids harming themselves because they feel like there's no hope. There's no choice. And they're doing themselves harm. They think, it's over. Life's over. There's no other options but take my life. We got to keep the community free of epidemics of suicide. And then three, keep Satan from having and holding high carnival and chaos in our homes and families. See, this is best done scriptural, by scriptural prayer and spirit-led prayer. You got scripture reference there. Praise God. Come on, stand to your feet. Hallelujah.